Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trey. Amen. So just again, a reminder, the verse for this retreat has been Romans 15, 13, which says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And we have been blessed today to hear amazing teachings about being filled with joy that comes from the Lord, that is filled with peace that can only come from the Lord. And today and tonight we're going to talk about this hope that not only this hope that comes from the Lord, but the hope that we are yearning to overflow to others. That it's not just a hope that's just going to contain within us, but it's going to overflow to others, and only done through, as it says here, through the Holy Spirit.
So throughout the day, we've looked at how God will fill us with joy, right, in the midst of suffering. We talked about how God will fill us with peace. And I'm not sure exactly what was covered with the men, but with the women, there was amazing word brought by Shanina and Angela. There you are. I was looking for you.
Men had an amazing word too.
I know, but I didn't hear that one. So I trust. But one of the things that we also talked about was how we're filled with joy when we're in the midst of suffering. And we're filled with peace in the middle of when the enemy is attacking us and when we're surrounded on all sides. And so we've seen this process. The other thing that we kind of looked at just is overarching was the fact that there's this imagery of God building a temple, and Christ is the foundation, right? And then as we build, he gives us, first of all, he gives us that joy in our salvation, and then he gives us peace as he builds us to be the temple of the Holy Spirit we were created to be. Ultimately, the hope that we have comes from being filled with his presence, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Shanina mentioned that verse when she talked about how the temple was being dedicated and the presence of God filled the temple so much full to overflowing that the priests couldn't even come in and do their work because the glory of God so filled the place. And that's the imagery that comes to mind when we think about first having that joy, then having that peace, and then being filled to overflowing with the hope that we have in Christ. So we're going to talk about four things looking at the second half of Romans 15, 13. First of all, it says that our part, what is our part, is that we have these things happen as we trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at what it means and how Scripture calls us to trust in the Lord. The second thing we're going to look at is it says then he will fill us to overflowing with hope. So we want to look at hope. What is hope? What are we hoping for? And how is that going to shape how we live? The third part of it is the overflowing part. What does it look like when we overflow with hope? And then the last part is it says that this will happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, this was talked about in our sessions about how only God, right? Only God can do this. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves into who he created us to be. All we can do is trust and obey, right? At the end of the day, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes this work possible. So those are going to be the four things. So let's start off with trust.
Yeah, so when we look at that word trust, and again, we're looking at the second half of verse 13, where it says that you will all joy and that you will be fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So that's our part. So that word trust is a very important thing that we need to look at. In Greek, when you look at that word, it also means faith. But it's very important for us. For us, we have two words. We have trust and we have faith. In Greek, it's the same word, which means faith, but one is a noun and one is a verb. Okay, you guys are going to be schooling something. You're going
to
be teaching
you
something
about
it. But it's something very important that it's not just faith of just it might happen, but it's faith where
it's something you do.
Yeah,
faith is an action. Trust is an action. You like to use the story about that we may have faith that this chair will hold us, but until you actually sit in the chair is when you trust. So you might have the right beliefs about God. You might have all the right theology. You may be able to quote scripture. But until life requires you to actually lean on that faith, to actually depend on God, that's when you begin to trust and have faith in him. So this word, trust and faith, in many ways are interchangeable in the original text. But for us, sometimes those words are kind of divided. We think of faith as like having certain ideas. And then trust is, you know, like a trust fall when you lean back and hope that the person catches you. But in this case, you know, the meaning is one and the same, that it's not just ideas, but it's an actual leaning in, pressing in, right, to God and what he has for us.
Yeah, and please, again, remember where we're getting this word trust from. So we can have joy of the Lord and we can have peace of the Lord. If we don't have that trust, we're not going to be filled. Yeah. With joy and peace, okay? So this word is really important to us, that when we actually lean on God's promises, when we lean on him, that's when we're going to be filled with joy and with his peace. So this is a key point of the scriptures of Romans 15, 13. So when we look at faith, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. We have this wonderful, now these two words here, faith and hope. Now faith, it's exactly what it is. It's not faith, it's not that if, maybe, it's when it's going to happen. Yeah. Okay, when I say I'm going to pray in faith that I'm going to be healed, it's not if I'm going to get healed, it's when I'm going to get healed. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference. In those words that we need to put in. It's not if I have salvation in the Lord. It's I do have salvation in the Lord. And when he comes again, I'll be with him in paradise. That's the difference. That's the hope that we're told. It's not a like whimsical, I hope it's going to happen. I hope I'll have salvation. I hope I am saved. No, I am. It's very important. I think we got it from our Father.
So Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for. So there's a certain degree of certainty that we're going to talk about that again in a minute. He's kind of...
Sorry. I got excited.
We'll unpack that a little bit more in a moment. But sticking with this idea of trust and faith, faith is being sure of what we hope for. So there's, again, this connection between faith and hope. The same way that there's a connection between trust and joy and peace and hope, there's that same connection, just reiterating that the trust and faith are one and the same. In verse 6 of the same chapter, Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. So that is what we're trusting. Right? We have faith and we're trusting that as we seek the Lord, he is going to reward us. He's going to reward us with what? With peace, with joy. Amen. Right? These are the very things that he has promised, and what he has promised, he is faithful to do. But the question that emerges from this is, okay, we have trust and we have faith, but what is hope then? What if it's not just a wish, right? It's something that's concrete. Shanita mentioned that how the word elpis in Greek is actually an expectation, yeah. Right? Even in English, if you look up the word hope, it has to do with an expectation, an anticipation of something that is going to happen. You know, so often we're like, hope you have a safe trip, hope you have a nice day, you know, hope I get that job, hope I this, and we use it as like a you know, like you're throwing a coin into a fountain, right? But that's not what hope, whether it's in Greek or in English, that's not what hope means. Hope is an eager anticipation, like it says here in Hebrews, that we're eagerly awaiting. We are waiting for something that we know, we're confident of. It's going to happen. I was sitting out on the patio earlier during the rain, and the storm was happening, and I saw a flash of lightning, right? And we've all seen lightning. And what is going to happen within a few seconds of seeing a flash of lightning? You're going to have thunder, right? It might be a second after. It might be 8 seconds after. We might try to do the math and figure out how many miles away it is. But we know when we see a flash of lightning that there will be thunder. That space in between is actually hope. Good. It's expectation. We see the lightning and we know that we know that we know there is going to be thunder. It's not if, it's when. And that's where we're supposed to be in our faith with God, is that we trust, and it's not a matter of if he's going to fulfill his promises. It's a matter of when will he fill those promises.
Amen. And how does this look like to us? Romans 8, 23, 25 speaks to us how that should look like. Romans 8, 23 starts off with, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. We groan. This is where our body and our spirit and our mind come as we're hoping, waiting. We've seen it. We've realized that the Holy Spirit came upon us and it gave us revelation of where we're going to be, right? And now we eagerly await. It's how the Bible ends. Come, Lord, come, right? Every morning we wake up, man, I'm so hoping. Right? It's that eagerly awaiting us for the Lord to come so we can be with him. That's the completions. That's the hope. That's the biggest hope that we have.
Yeah. And that, so often, we diminish the word hope. A lot of ways, I think, in some ways, we diminish the word love, right? We're like, I love tacos. I love. and there's such a profound meaning to the word, but because of the way we use it, yeah, it has lost so much of its significance and meaning. And that's how the word hope is, right? And in scripture, as believers, when we think of the word hope, it's not I'm hoping for that job. It's not that I'm hoping for that check to come through. It's not that I'm hoping for a nice vacation. It's not even that I'm hoping for healing. We want hope, but the hope that we have is for what? Because hope comes with, like, if the lightning happens, you have that hope, that expectation. You're not thinking that the sun is going to start shining. You're not thinking, oh, maybe there'll be an earthquake. No, you are waiting in anticipation for the thunder. You know what's coming. So as Christians, the hope that we're looking for, the hope that God promises to give us, is for something specific. Yeah. It's not even for your healing. It's not even for your circumstances to change. Although God in his grace and mercy might do that, that's not the hope that we have. And Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says this, it affirms, we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That is our hope. Yeah. Yeah. That is our hope. And Philippians 3:20 reiterates this. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they can be like his glorious body. This is what we're waiting for. It's not for him to manifest things specifically in this world, in your life, in your circumstances. It's the hope that this isn't it. That we are living in a reality beyond what we can see, beyond what we can taste and touch and feel. We are citizens of heaven, not citizens of the chaotic political climate we are in. We are citizens of heaven, and we are awaiting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come and bring his kingdom. The way that he prayed in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. That is our hope. That is our anticipation. If you're waiting for anything, there should be an excitement and an eagerness as you seek the Lord and as you live your life for the fulfillment of this promise. Christ came, Christ died, and he will come again. That is our hope, that one day he will fulfill all things, he will make all things new, and even these lowly bodies that outwardly were wasting away, inwardly were being renewed day by day.
Amen. 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 So now that we know what hope is, we can look at the other part of 15:13, where it says, so the reason we trust in him, the reason we're filled with all the joy and all the peace as we trust in him, that we may be overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does overflowing mean? So we want to look at that. So to do that, we're going to look at John chapter 4, the woman at the well. So if you guys have your Bible, we're going to stay in those couple verses for a couple of points. So if you guys flip to John chapter 4, we're going to be going through the overflow there.
So in John chapter 4, you may have heard many sermons on this. And there's some hypothesizing that people do about how the woman went to the well at a certain time of day because she was ashamed and this and that. Maybe. We have no proof to authenticate that, right? What it does say in the text at the beginning of the chapter is it says, now Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, historically, from where he was going, I mean, from where he started to where he was going, he did not have to go through Samaria. But what the text is saying is he had an appointment. Yeah. He had to go through Samaria. And why? Because he needed to meet this woman at the well. And in the same way, you may be here today and you have all, maybe you have shame, maybe you have fear, maybe you have guilt. Maybe you're just doing your daily grind and you're going through life like a robot on autopilot and your life is not exciting. Maybe you're just bored, right? This woman is doing a very mundane thing. She gets up, she goes to the well, she gets water, which she has done probably thousands of times before. But this time is different. This time is different. And in our lives, when we open ourselves up to trust and we open ourselves up to hope, we have an encounter with Jesus that may be like unlike you've ever had before, and you will be changed. You will be different. And it's so beautiful because whatever you're going through, she doesn't come to him. He's there waiting for her. He comes to where she is in order to bring that change. And so although you came just to do this retreat, you may not have known what you were expecting. You didn't know. You came with hope. You came with expectation. And Christ is already here waiting.
Amen.
He's waiting to speak to you, to move in your life. And we hope that you don't leave this place until you receive that word this weekend.
Amen. And as we spoke about overflow, sometimes the reason we don't overflow is because we're empty. Because we're dry. And we look at this verse in verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Now, she's thinking earthly ways, kind of, right? She's like, man, I'm tired of hiking back and forth. Can you just give me this water that I will never thirst anymore? But there was an emptiness in there. She's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be filled with whatever you're giving. I want to be filled with this everlasting water. But she was empty. She didn't have any of that. So first of all, when we're talking about overflow, a lot of times the reason we're not overflowing because we're just empty, right? The second thing, when we're looking at John, this next step, it's amazing, this woman, Samaritan woman, right? The Samaritan woman, she comes and she's talking to Jesus, and Jesus having this amazing conversation with her. And in John 4:25, you see an amazing faith in her. You see hope. You see hope that we've been talking about. In John 4:25, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Why is that important? She didn't say, if the Messiah comes. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Jews, what the Jews have been telling about. No, this woman is a Samaritan woman. She has faith. She has hope. When the Messiah comes, then all will be right. He will explain everything to us. Mm-hmm. She's now showing that even out of her emptiness, even out of her shame being a Samaritan in front of a Jew, there's hope because she has hope in the Messiah, mm-hmm. the Christ.
And the incredible thing that's happening here is that she comes with these jars, right? And she's coming with a very real, basic, earthly need to fill those jars with water. And Jesus offers her this living water, which again, she doesn't realize is spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. John reveals in chapter 7, he brings up this living water again, that if you're thirsty, he will give living water. And it explains very clearly, he's referring to the Holy Spirit, which will actually be our last point, that the infilling, the overflowing comes from the dwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And in this conversation, he's actually giving her that living water. She is seeking, she is hoping, she is expecting. And his word, what he says right after this, mm-hmm. he says in verse 26, I who speak to you am he.
That's it.
He just gave her the living water. And what you see happen is that stream of living water, we picture that overflow. You start with an empty cup and someone is pouring and you got to, you know, pray harder and read your word and worship, and God will kind of like, you know, little drops at a time fill you up. But that's not what happened. He says springs of living water will come from within.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From within. So picture it more like Buckingham Fountain, right? There's this fountain where the water comes up from within and it flows into the basin, right? And when that basin gets filled, what happens? It overflows into the larger basin below. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what happens to this woman. If she comes dry, mm-hmm. she comes empty. Jesus gives her that living water. And it says, just then his disciples replied, saying, what do you want with this woman? Why are you talking to her? And it says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So they came out of the town and found their way to him. And so this is what happens. He gives her the living water from within. She fills up, I mean, that quickly. You have this encounter with Jesus and you are filled. In fact, you are so filled with abundance, super abundance, that you overflow. And that overflow of the power of the Holy Spirit now flows into others. It flows out because you can't contain it. You can't contain it. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to summon it up. It's not even an it. It's a who. It's the presence of Christ, the presence of God in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit welling up within you. And she runs out and she tells everybody that she can. She tells the whole world. And they come and they believe because they can see with their own eyes that something happened. I don't know what's going on with her, but she's talking crazy. And she looks different. She sounds different. She's acting different. I got to go see what she's talking about. And that's the kind of hope and overflow that God wants us to have.
And we see that it's a true overflow because we see what happens in verse 42, just a couple of verses behind. It says, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So because of her overflow, she's not just jumping around and being, and people are like, all right, this lady finally lost it. They realize that it's genuine change, genuine excitement. And this genuine excitement reflects who the Messiah is, who the Savior is, because they're like, they heard her and they looked at her. It's like, okay, now let's go see what she really is talking about. And now they're being saved, well, being saved too, but they're being changed. Mm-hmm. They're being, so it's very important for me. I just really wanted to mention this, is that this overflow does not look like a bunch of people jumping around and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a genuine change in her. There's got to be a genuine change in you, so that when this spirit fills up in you and through you and out of you, there's a change with those around you. Now the spirit has started to change those around you, right? Because if it's just you, then there's got to be an overflow. There's a reason why it's splashing out to get on other people, okay?
Yeah, you can't contain it. Just changes you. You know, over dinner, we were talking to Frank and Michelle. I'm just going to share, because as you were talking, I'm like, oh my goodness, this makes totally connects to what we're talking about. They work for the CTA along with Dave, and they were talking about how frequently on the trains there are people who come and overdose. And as they're nearing death, they'll come on and they're just completely either slumped over, they turn blue, there's like no signs of life in them. Right. And then they come and someone will administer either Narcan or some sort of medication. They, you know, they get an injection. And right, you were saying, you're like instantly, like within seconds, they like jump up. They're breathing again. Their color changes. I mean, there is a noticeable physical difference. And they'll be asked, well, you know, you were in really bad shape. You need to go to the hospital. And they're like, no, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm fine. And they just like walk off the train, like as though nothing just happened, even though they may have stopped breathing and they would have been declared medically dead. They are now walking. And how many of us, right? You may have even come this weekend and you just feel like you have no oxygen, like you're barely breathing, right? And you're basically walking dead and there's no more life in you. Even if you say that you know the Lord, But there's a point when we're disconnected from this, the Holy Spirit, right? We're operating out of our own strength. We're operating out of, and we become overdosed by life.
Yeah.
We become overdosed by stress, by discouragement, by toxicity. Yeah. And it's literally sucking the life out of us.
Yeah.
But having a true encounter with Jesus, having a true indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will just that fast.
Yeah.
How many of you have experienced that? Come on.
Amen,
now.
Amen.
That amazing testimony, right? Where you're just done. And you have that time where the Lord meets you where you are. And within moments, all of the things, the water jars get left behind. Your bills get left behind. Whatever it is, suddenly just is insignificant. Like,
yeah.
And it doesn't matter because now you're running and jumping in the joy, in the peace, and in the hope that the Lord only can give us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on,
amen. So the last thing we want to talk about, again, I just want to keep on reading so you guys know we're bringing this from the scripture. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by what? By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is so important with us. The Holy Spirit to us is so important. It's what connects. It's when he said to her, he who speaks to you. All of a sudden, there's a relationship. You're speaking to the Lord. And at one point in your life, he spoke to you, and he touched you, and he filled you. And now you have hope that because I have this Spirit in me, now I have hope.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 1:13-14. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal,
Amen.
The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of his glory. The Spirit that is inside of us is the seal that's saying we are his. And only through that we can have hope there's more for us in the future.
Amen.
We got to rely on the Holy Spirit. We got to hold on to the Holy Spirit. That's the only power that we can really lean on. So that way we can overflow to others. Only through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we can't do it on our own. Again, no amount of praying, going to church, you know, reading your Bible, you know, passing out tracts to be a good evangelist, whatever it is that you feel that you need to do, won't do it. You know, you can't force yourself to smile. You can't force yourself. That's not true joy. You know, Jesus said that I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Again, this overflow. He came not that you would just be going through the motions, living the daily grind, doing the ordinary thing. God is with you even in the ordinary things, like he was with the woman at the well. But we have to find him. And for those of you who didn't raise your hand because you haven't had this experience and you don't know what we're talking about, please, I urge you, do not leave this weekend. Talk to someone who did raise their hand. Find out what on earth are we talking about. Do not leave this place until you have asked those questions and until you have heard and experienced the way the woman goes to talk to the town. You may be one of the townspeople today who needs one of us to testify and say, I have met the one we've been hoping for. I have met the one that we are expecting and waiting for. He is here. He is present. And you need to hear that same thing right now, that he is here and he is present. And you don't want to leave this place and miss that opportunity. Because he wants to meet you right where you're at. So if you haven't had that, please, before you leave this weekend, talk to someone who did raise their hand. Because they will have a story for you that I bet you will blow your mind.
Mm.
You don't want to miss that, right? It's like the newest release on Netflix. You gotta you gotta binge watch. You know, maybe talk to two or three people. Get as many stories as you can. Because there's a lot of testimonies in this room and in this place. And that brings us really to our last verse. We want to close out today with another worship time, just some time for you to be in God's presence. You don't need to listen to us talk all night, although we probably could. We want you to hear a word from the Lord directly. and not just our opinion. We try to use scripture as much as possible so that we're not teaching our opinion. But we want you, we believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you directly, a word from the Lord. So we want you to have that quiet space where we'll have some music playing, we'll have a worship song, and you can just kind of soak that in quietly or sing along or just pray. And the last verse that we're looking at is Romans chapter 5, verse 5.
And hope does not disappoint us. This hope that we've been talking about. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That hope will not disappoint you. The same way that when you see the lightning, the thunder is sure to follow. When you receive the hope that only Jesus provides, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, that power, that seal will not disappoint you. He is coming, and he's coming soon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.